This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again. And that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith. Skip pass knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I'm not much of a help. I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show in Central Nebraska is at ESPN Radio Superstage with another jam-packed hour plus. Whatever we do on this show, we do it until we're done. That's kind of the new motto here lately, especially since we've been back from Dallas. But we've got a lot to talk about on the program today. Our Big 12 football preview continues with Texas Tech quarterback Taylor Potts. He'll be on the program today. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, with us in the final segment on Thursday. All you have to do, if you've got a question, because we're getting ready, fantasy football drafts will really be firing up here in the next couple of weeks. So if you've got a question for Joe, all you have to do is email the program, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and if you finish last year, league last year, Doug, A-N-D, Daddy, at, and that's the at symbol. You don't spell out at, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, the Dent Popper inbox. Plus, Chancellor Doug Christensen from the University of Nebraska at Kearney will be joining us momentarily as we continue our discussion on UNK to the MIAA. And we've got more questions, and I'm sure the Chancellor has more answers for us as we're moving forward and probably can tell us more than when we chatted with him about 3 weeks ago. So that's all coming up on the program today. But, you know, Merritt, Daddy looks okay. He looks like he's got some energy in him. He's got a little color in the face. Coming off a big anniversary evening, day, spa treatment, meal, lovely day. Would you like to give us a report?
I actually had my spa treatment last Sunday by myself. I had a pedicure.
Yeah. And then, folks, he's not lying. He's not lying. He's not saying I had a pedicure like a big man joke. No, he had a pedicure. He had a pedicure. I mean, since it didn't take long to cut his hair, he has more time to get some other things trimmed up.
I have my little friends up there I go see every now and then, and they do the bottoms of my feet, and the lady says, "Oh, the big man is so ticklish." Has a little fun.
But I don't want to hear about the pedicure. How'd it go yesterday?
It went fine. Had a wonderful day. Actually, you know, mowed the lawn, you know, did that deal till about 7 o'clock last night. Showered up. Went out for a nice supper. Got home, actually.
Is that a new tradition, mowing the lawn on your anniversary?
DVR. You know, DVR, Big Brother. Got a chance to watch it before bed. Nobody used the power of veto. Perfect. Had nappy time.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad. I guess I'm glad for you. Probably more glad for the lovely missus than I am for you. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Love to hear from you. Dent Popper inbox, as we told you, as well. A couple of things to mention. Carney Runza gets things going here in about an hour and a half, approximately 12:30, against Minot, North Dakota, in the first round of the Central Plains Regional Baseball Tournament. Eight regionals. So that means there's eight times eight. What is that, Daddy? 56?
That'd be 64.
Oh, okay. And then they'll whittle that down to the eight that head to Spokane, Washington, for the American Legion World Series. Kearney and Minot get going. And don't forget, also, the Hastings Runza team is going to Minot, North Dakota, where they play in the Babe Ruth Tournament, the Babe Ruth Midwest Regional Tournament. And that begins for them tomorrow against the Colorado State Champions at 5 o'clock.
Cool,
so plenty of baseball
them.
Going
yeah.
on. And Gretna claimed a Class B Nebraska State Senior Championship last night. That was a team that knocked out Holdridge a couple of nights ago. Nebraska City beat them in the first game 5-3. Of course, when you got Logan Ehlers out there chucking the pill, you can do some good things. But Gretna got him in the second game 7-1. So they are the state champs.
When you bring him up, Doug, he has till August 16th, the final date, to declare whether he will become a professional baseball player or will report to the University of Nebraska and attend school. So
he's going to report. He's going to report.
Turned down three offers so far.
He's going to report. If you've got a question for Chancellor Christensen, you can also send it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And Chancellor Doug Christensen joins us live in studio here on this Thursday. Chancellor, good morning.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, glad to have you back. I missed your appearance last time, but of course went back.
Well, no, I was here. You weren't.
Well, that's yeah. I missed it. You were here, and Coach Crocker and Tony, and of course I listened to it on the podcast so I could hear some wisdom on the show that day. And glad to be here and see you with, I guess, the official announcement that UNK is going to the MIAA, and with the football team yesterday being named the preseason conference favorites. Things are pointed in the right direction there. Has it been hectic this week, or has it been okay? Again, because I think this wasn't a total shock to a lot of people. It had been talked about for a while.
No, it's not been a terribly hectic week, more than anything else. You know, there's the business of the university, of course, starts to pick up last week and this week. Classes are going to begin soon. We got students moving in this weekend, and so there's lots of things going on. But, yeah, it took a little more time, but uniformly, it's what we've expected, and there's a number of things that have to occur yet before we get there. So we're not going to take any of that for granted, and it's just part of the next step in the process will be the Board of Regents on the 17th.
I assume you will be speaking to the Board of Regents somewhat right. of what we saw Harvey Perlman and Tom Osborne do with Nebraska. And again, the timing seems to be so weird. We can always compare, hey, Nebraska just left this summer this spring to go, and people want to parallel that a little bit. What are you going to tell the board?
Well, I think, first of all, we want to thank the board for their time. This is not a regular meeting. They're having a special meeting for another reason. We're tagging on to this. Otherwise, we would have been waiting until September, and that would have put a pretty good time crunch to us to get the MIAA here, get their presidents to vote, and then still, if we were successful, notify the RMAC before the 1st of October. And so this, we obviously appreciate them letting us come on. We're going to talk about the reasons why this makes sense, and not just from an athletic point of view. The board is supportive of our mission here. We're part of, obviously, a Division II program that I think is one of the top ones in the country. And we have a very good institution. And the board wants to make sure, I think, that we are not entering into an arms race and that we're doing this for the right reasons. And so we're going to talk about fit. We're going to talk about why. We're going to talk about the opportunity to be here, what impact it has on our student athletes. And that's probably something you didn't hear from a UNL presentation, because they move for different reasons. They move for revenue, for TV, for survival, if you will, and we're moving for student-athlete reasons, and I think fan reasons as well, and I think it's good for the institution. We're going to talk about how we fit into the MIAA, why we're like those institutions, and what I think some of the advantages to us of being in the MIAA would be, and there's a number of them, really.
Doug, I've heard arms race. I've heard win at all costs. Once you enter this conference, now there's no Yankees payroll. I mean, you're comparing it scholarship-wise. Once you enter this realm, though, and I particularly talk football because that's what we seem to be as far behind as in anything scholarship-wise.
Right.
Once you enter this conference, don't you enter the arms race and the race for a national title?
No, I don't think that's an accurate way to put it. We're going to come in. Let's just look at football, for example. But this is not a football move. I mean, this is an athletic. We've got 19 sports. We've got 400 athletes, some of which are football. But when we come in, there's a lot of things to consider about this. And one of them is these are students first. That is our goal, is to get them educated. Our goal is not to make professional football players out of them. We want to compete at a high level. I think we do that now. I mean, we look at what we did with Saginaw last year. Our top 22, I think, can compete with anybody in the country, and we'll do so. The issue for us, or for me anyway, is what do you do with depth? What do you do with trying to stay up with the numbers? Just because you give a kid a scholarship doesn't mean he's going to be a good football player.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And we're not giving full rides to kids. So, in other words, we're not buying athletes. What we're doing is we're like a lot of Division II schools. You're giving partial scholarships to a number of students. Now, the more assistance, this is a competitive business, if you call it a business, but it's a competitive environment where good athletes have options. And some aren't going to want to live in Omaha, Nebraska. Some aren't going to want to go to Northwest Missouri State. Some are going to like the education they're going to get. Some are going to like the setting in Kearney. Some are going to like the competition that they play. Some liked the fact that they competed in the RMAC because they lived in the Front Range. Some of those students are now going to come here because they're closer to home because they live in northern Kansas or Missouri, Kansas City, the St. Louis area. It's going to be a period of change. I'm not telling you that the day we switch, we can just click on and everything's automatically going to switch over. We're going to have a period of transition. But there's more to it than scholarships. You've got to look at coaching size. You've got to look at facilities. You've got to look at what we spend on weight training. Varieties of things are out there. If you look at the overall picture, we're very competitive in the MIAA. Now, I think we're like every other thing we do at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We get by with less. We don't spend as much per student as many institutions do. We got loyal faculty. We got loyal staff. That's the tradition of this campus, and we're still going to be there. The arms race to me would be defined as we've got to get max scholarships in all sports and be competitive in all sports. And what that means to some people is we've got to be the biggest spenders. We've got to have the best facilities. We've got to have more coaches. We've got to have more weight training. We've got to have a lot of those things. We don't have to do those to be good. Now, where that takes you, if that's football, I don't want our student athletes placed at risk. I don't think there's mismatches there. I really don't. Do I want to play Northwest Missouri State every week? I don't know if anybody wants to do that.
Right.
That's tough. And honestly, we're not going to come in at the bottom half either of this. I mean, are there schools that have really good football programs? You bet. Does Truman State really not want to see us come in competitive? Yeah, because they got a volleyball team that's been able to sort of rule the roost down there. And now all of a sudden, there's a big dog coming into town called Kearney. It's a balance act. Overall, at the end of the day, it's better for us that our kids aren't missing as many classes, that our kids aren't sitting on buses going over mountain passes, and that they have fans. And quite frankly, I think fan bases will increase. We know Emporia, we know Pitt State, we know Hayes, we know UNO. Everybody knows Northwest Missouri State. And those schools are going to bring fans here. When those fans come here, our fans are going to go, now, wait a minute, we're not going to let them run here. I think that will have a positive impact on all of us. And if you're an athlete, you want to compete at the highest level.
Chancellor Doug Christensen of UNK is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we continue the talk this week about UNK applying for membership, seeking admission to the MIAA. When you were with us last week or last month, you talked about how we favorably compared with the MIAA. Obviously, they've been here. I don't know how many are official visits. The facilities are at the top of all this, so a reason that they would want you in. One of the questions that we are fielding on the show, and I guess off the show, is the whole revenue deal, and not just for football, but when we talked with John McBride a couple of days ago, the number was between $150 and $250, the savings from the RMAC. He said, yes, we are going to have to find more ways to raise money and to, I guess, redirect where we're putting our revenue. Can you give me an idea of what you guys are thinking about how this will be accomplished? I mean, you want to save money by traveling and put it into the student-athlete is what John McBride was saying. How are you going to do that that's different? Because obviously you always want to maximize your fundraising. Can you give me some specifics on how that'll happen?
Well, let me talk about what I envision we would do as we go forward. One is part of this also has to be budget management. For example, an athletic budget is not as easy as it's X amount of dollars and that's what you have to spend. The biggest variable in that athletic budget is going to be travel. Price of fuel, motor coaches go up. You win the conference or you finish second, you have to travel. You make the playoffs. It's hard to have an exact dollar. And so athletics has always run pretty close to the line, and we may have deficits because of travel. We may have deficits because of athletic injury where the student athlete's insurance didn't cover them. Well, we're picking up the cost of doing some of that. We've also got great partners that help us in the medical community. But some of the savings has got to go into budget reduction. I'm taking $1.6 million out of the rest of the campus, and they're reducing. We're hiring less faculty members. Athletics is going to share in that. Athletics is going to have to take a reduction as well. Now, if some of that savings gets contributed to budget reduction, fine. Some of that's going to go into increased scholarships, because I think that is Tony Jesus is hurting me to say that he was right. But I mean, part of this is that we do have some scholarship deficiencies, and we're going to have to put some of that money into scholarships. I think that's money better spent than buying gas, is to go pay for those scholarships. Second point of that is we're going to have to begin a more focused fundraising effort, and this gives us a reason to do it. This gives us a nice focal point. This gives us something to talk about. Look, we're going to be competing against perhaps one of the best conferences in the country. I think that motivates people. It gives people a reason to give. Most people give to increase and raise to the next level. Very few people give money because, oh, poor us, we don't have any money. There's a lot of charity cases out there, and quite frankly, you don't raise money doing that. You raise money because you're doing things better and you're going to the next level. And that's what I think a targeted, our friends at the foundation are crucial in this, and they're going to have to help us. As I told the athletic department last week, we can't call up the foundation and say, hey, send us up some more money. We need some more money. You can't expect somebody else to do it for you. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to go out. You see Coach Morris. I mean, what a great job he's doing. A few weeks ago, you saw a tremendously successful fundraiser out there. People respond to success, and people respond to moving to the next level. And if we didn't have good coaches here and people who I think believe in the Division II model, we wouldn't be doing this. We'd be going down. We'd be going to NAIA. We'd be having an intramural, a club program. I don't think that's in our best interest, is to gear down. Could we find people that we could beat every week and we could go undefeated? Yeah,
Well, we found them in the RMAC. I mean, for the most part.
Well, it depends on which sport.
But, I mean, we're highly successful in that.
The reason we're successful is that we offer a large number of sports, and we don't load up on any one sport and say, there may be another school in the state that does that. But if you look at our women's athletic program and their level of funding, from swimming and diving to football to wrestling, baseball, we're pretty good across the board. And that's because we're devoted to providing opportunities to student-athletes. Those student-athletes are students for us. Our students are good students. You know, they have good grades. It's because we invest time into doing that. And we don't load up and say, okay, look, football's our life. Would we do that? Daryl would love it. Nobody probably deserves it more than Daryl Morris either. But I'm telling you that we have to look at the big picture here. And I think that we can do the right things for football. We're committed to go raise those additional funds. I think we have a great coach and a good staff that can do it. And, you know, the time will tell us.
Okay, Doug, here's a question that was posed to me. And I know things, life's not fair. And Lord knows if we were only as smart as Doug over here across the desk from me, it'd be, you know.
Well, be careful which Doug.
We're both highly intelligent over here, by the way.
The fairness issue has been raised about, is UNO fully funded the 36 scholarships because of money they get from the foundation and money that state provided, or is it because of privately funded money, period?
When you talk about foundation, that is private money. So money that's given is going to go into the foundation. And thus.
But it's the endowed money you're talking.
Well, I think they do that. Hockey generates, I mean, if you go look at Omaha, hockey generates a lot of money. It spends a lot of money. And for them, the Omaha community is wealthy. I mean, there's a lot of very generous people that live in that community. And Mr. Buffett, Mr. Kiewit, a lot of those people have made a lot of other people very wealthy in that community, and they invest it back in the community. UNO athletics, particularly football, has been a beneficiary of that. So it is private money. It is not state money that's going into there. You know, most people don't know this. We spend more than the Huskers do of state tax dollars on athletics. You know, we probably have a budget of somewhere about $1.3 million of state money that we spend. The Huskers spend zero tax dollars to do that. Now, I happen to think that athletics is like the front porch of your campus. People drive by. I don't have 5,000 people that will go to see a history class, but I do have 5,000 people that will go out and see good student athletes in football and volleyball and basketball. That's their first impression of us. And if you let that front porch look pretty shoddy, they're going to go, I don't know if I want to go in that house. It's a balance. And so, yeah, UNO, I can't tell you their breakdown, how much of it goes from private sources, how much of it. There's always a system called remissions, which are they forgive tuition. We do some of that as well. We just limit that. We don't, that's eating your own at that point.
That's fine. As far as the state goes, when you're part of the state university, do you get the same money as one another?
We have a system. The money from the legislature goes to the university as a whole. It will go to President Milliken, basically. And he devises, and with the input of the other chancellors, a system of distribution to the campuses. There's not going to be wide swings of that because we have invested a lot in infrastructure. We invest a lot in people. And so our share is roughly about 8.8% of the university budget. Part of that is tuition. So if we bring in more students, we get more tuition money. Conversely, if we're down a year or students take less credit hours, we get less money and we have to make that up. So once the sum of money is given to me as the person responsible for this campus, we have a budget process here of allocation of money. There's not a line that we start and say, okay, the first 100,000 goes here, the next 100,000 goes there. You know, we pay our people. We pay the faculty. We pay our staffs. The athletic department has basically, I mean, that's where the money's at. It's hiring people. And so we do that. If we're short, they allocate out a cut to the campuses, and that's what I'm dealing with right now. There isn't as much money that came from the state as what I have need because I have contracts that I've got to honor. We're going to reduce the number of people who work at the university. Sure we will. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go off and start going office to office and firing people, but when we have vacancies, we don't hire them back sometimes. And that's what the athletic department will share in as well.
Doug Christensen with us for just another minute here. We could talk a whole hour about this, and we will continue to talk about it. But two quick questions before we let you move on, and I asked John a little bit about this. First off, when one of the biggest reasons was to get the kids off the road a little bit here, the MIAA is going to welcome in U, Central Oklahoma, Northeastern State, and Lindenwood, which are all fairly far away or will be the farthest traveling three of the four.
That's right.
John said that UNK is going in with the understanding that this will be split into two 8-team divisions. I guess, is this a done deal as to where UNK will be, or can you address all of a sudden they may have to travel to these places and how that doesn't maybe stack up to what we're trying to get out of with the RMAC conference?
Well, even if we don't do divisions, it still reduces travel. I mean, the miles are substantial. We'll still have six schools that are going to be closer than our closest school in the RMAC. I mean, that exists. Is it a done deal? I don't know. I'm not a member of the conference yet. I don't get a vote. They have told us that their goal to expand was to get to divisions. They would not expand and take four schools if they weren't going to go to divisions. Does that mean in every sport you're going to do divisions? I might be surprised if that happens in every sport. I could see football, for example, you designate a couple rivalries. I can't imagine we wouldn't be playing Hayes every year and we wouldn't be playing UNO every year. And then you might take the other group and rotate them on a basis so you wouldn't be playing the furthest ones every year, but you probably would be playing the closest ones because they'd be natural rivalries. That's where the athletic directors are going to have to go into this. My understanding and what I'm relying on is they expanded to 16 for a reason, and that was to do divisions.
And secondly, what will happen in the so-called lame duck period here over the next 2 years in the RMAC conference?
I expect that we're going to be treated fine by the vast majority of fans and schools as we finish out our 2 years. The RMAC's been good. I've got some great friends there. People who I respect, the commissioner JR has been really good to us. This doesn't make his life real easy. And we're going to play those out. We're not going to take any penalties. I think we can use 2 years, quite frankly, to get ready. This is what, and we talk about, we're not switching today. We're going to spend 2 years trying to get ourselves transitioned and accepted in and do the right things. The same thing will happen with the RMAC. We're going to have to work on those schedules. Do I worry about officials? Not at all. I don't think that's going to change. I don't think we're going to get a call against us because we're moving conferences. I'd be surprised if most of those officials knew we were leaving the conference. Do I expect one or two of the school's fans to give us a little door on the behind as we leave? Yeah, I probably expect that. I trust they'll act reasonably, and if they don't, we'll deal with it. But by and large, there's some class schools out there.
Chancellor, always very gracious with your time. I know it's a busy time, and we'll probably talk more when this becomes official. Tuesday the 17th, the next big step in this process, and we appreciate you giving us some time.
Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate what you do and covering the Lopers, and it'll be a great year. We should do very, very well, and I guess the only thing I'd leave you with is I really think you ought to have one additional guest on the show. I think you ought to go down to Coach Ekstrom and have him come up here and interview him a little bit. He's probably got some insights into maybe one of the hosts, and that'd be fairly entertaining.
I can't believe he hasn't co-hosted when I've been gone once. So maybe we'll bring him in before the season gets
insights,
going.
Insights, is that what you call
it? Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, it won't be long until we're out to the high schools, too, and seeing you at some Whippet games.
Great.
As well.
Doug, thanks so much. You bet.
We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Taylor Potts, Texas Tech quarterback, Jonah Mayo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. More on the day's sports and your reaction to the Chancellor's comments as well after this.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition. It's backed by popular demand at Bruce Furniture in Hastings and Holdridge. The buy one, get one free sale on Lane Recliners. Purchase a world-famous Lane recliner at its regular price and get a second one of equal value absolutely free. If you don't need two recliners, bring a friend and share the savings. Choose from nearly 100 recliners in wall, saver, and rocker recliner styles and colors to fit everyone's room. Easy credit terms plus great savings on comfort. But hurry, the buy one, get one free sale on Lane recliners ends soon. Bruce Furniture, downtown Holdridge, and south of the Landmark Center on Marion Road, Hastings.
Summer is fun, but with bug bites, you have to be careful for West Nile and Lyme disease. Ask your pharmacist at ABC Drug how to help fight insect bites. ABC Drug is your summer-soothing Health Mart headquarters. ABC now carries insulated picnic totes, complete with shatter-resistant plates and glasses, silverware, napkins, and salt and pepper shakers, with room to pack the meal. It's all you need for the perfect picnic. Only at ABC Drug and Gift, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drugstore.
Hungry?
A great meal is closer than you think.
Come on in.
Head on over to Sapp Brothers on I-80.
Where you're always welcome to be our guest.
Just imagine sinking your teeth into a perfect chicken fried steak.
Not just any chicken fried steak, but chicken fried steak that's huge, homemade, and one of the best you'll find around.
Because at Sapp Brothers, we're more than just a travel center. We're a great restaurant, too.
And we'd love for you to be our guest.
So stop by.
In Odessa on I-80, exit 263. Just look for the big coffee pot.
You're always welcome at Sapp Brothers.
Be our guest at Sapp Brothers.
Ah, summertime. Nothing like putting on the pads in 90-degree heat and sweating your way through training camp. It's the dawn of another football season. And Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation unveils end-to-end coverage of man's second favorite contact sport, reports from training camp. So you get all the dirt on who's rising up and who's washing out from the station that takes football just as seriously as you do. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
A mix of clouds and sun develops today, as we'll see an isolated chance of a shower storm developing with highs around 87. Winds will stay variable at 5 to 10. There's a slight chance for a shower storm tonight with a low in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 79.
Well, Big 12 media days continue here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and day two is underway, Daddy, and Texas Tech among the schools that is here today. And do they have a quarterback battle? We know that they have a new coach. We know that we're going to see some new things from Texas Tech, and let's find out a little bit about the Red Raiders for 2010.
Well, it certainly looks that way, Doug. We're going to hear shortly why Taylor Potts says he'll be the starting quarterback when fall rolls around. He joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. First of all, Taylor, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for giving us a minute here today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Is there any kind of a quarterback battle going on? I mean, it is your job.
Yeah, Coach set us down. Coach Brown, our offensive coordinator, set us down earlier this week, and he said, I expected to have somebody after spring ball, and, both of you guys got hurt, back-to-back days, which is pretty crazy. But he said, with that, we got to roll with that, and in camp we'll find somebody. So, with new coaches coming in, we had a totally new staff, new head coach. Everything's up for grabs. Every position was up for grabs. A lot of people got to establish their position in spring ball, which coach was hoping we would do, but unfortunately that didn't really get to happen for us. So it's going to continue into fall, he says. So
how are both you and Steven right now coming back off the injuries? 100% ready to go, or we still got a little healing left to do?
No, I think we're both 100%. I know I am, and it appears that he is too. So I think we're going to go at it full strong.
Is that hard when you're trying to be buddies off the field, but you want to be the starting quarterback? He wants to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, no, it's you just kind of got to look at it as it is. We both want to play. We want to play as bad as we want, as bad as we can, we both dreamed of, playing for like this level forever, so best one's going to play. And one of our Coach Brown told us, he said, this isn't pressure, and he said, you get laid off in a job and you got two kids to feed, that's pressure. He said, this is fun, make it fun, keep it fun, and y'all do great.
Taylor Potts joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Taylor, you go from pretty much mayhem at Texas Tech with the coaching staff, and it seemed like from the outside looking in, maybe some craziness, to now a much more stable presence in Coach Tuberville.
Yeah.
What's that crossover been like and change been like for you guys?
And it's been smooth. It's really been a blessing. We've really been blessed with a great head coach. He brought in a lot of great coaches, and it's been a lot smoother than I saw it going. So, we're really blessed to have, a good staff like we got.
Talk about the changes, the immediate changes that you guys saw. As you said, didn't get to really execute it a lot in spring ball because of the injuries, but what were a couple of the things that we're going to see that might be a lot different this fall?
I think we're going to be playing at a quicker pace, you know, and a lot of people say, yo, we play at a quicker pace to begin with, but, you know, it's our coach's philosophy to play as fast as we can and let everybody play catch up from there. So, you know, that might be, it might not be visible to everybody else, but, you know, for us, we're trying to play as quick and as fast as we can.
So many quarterbacks from Tech put up these ungodly numbers and people just shake their heads. Then it really doesn't transition to that Sunday guy. You envision playing on Sundays someday?
Man, I love to. I mean, that's been my dream since I was a little kid. I remember, you know, me and my buddies, we'd watch the Cowboys on Sundays, and you know, I'd watch Troy Aikman. We watched Troy, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. We watched all these guys, and we'd go out and we play, you know. And I had an Aikman jersey, and so we'd run around and play. So I mean, I've been dreaming of that for a little kid. So if you know, if I ever had my shot, I would sure love to. And you know, I've dreamed of playing in the NFL for a long time, but. You know, that's just something you got to be blessed with. You got to be lucky.
What's been the deal with those quarterbacks? Why haven't they transitioned to that Sunday guy?
And I don't know. I think just coming off the spread offense, you know, and the type of spread that we tend to run, you know, I'm assuming it doesn't transfer really well. I've never made it. You know, I've never been in the NFL, so I couldn't look back and tell you why. But I'm assuming from what I've heard people say. You know, it doesn't transfer really well, and it's totally different. You don't take snaps under center, and that's a big thing for the NFL. So, you know, I think it's stuff you really got to work hard on when you're training before combine and that kind of stuff to really work on and kind of nail down before you get drafted or something like that.
Taylor Potts of Texas Tech is joining us here on ESPN's Doug and Daddy Show at Big 12 Media Days. To throw the ball, you got to have guys that catch the ball and can do some dynamic things. We've seen some great wide receivers. Tell us a little bit about your wide receiving core this year.
Hey, we're going to be really good out there this year. We got, you know, we have tons of receivers. We got good depth at receiver this year. So we're going to have a lot of talent. We got Torres back. We got Detron back. We got Lyle back. We got Swain back. We got a bunch of young guys right behind those guys. So we're going to be really good.
Wide receivers always say that they're open, and they seem to be at Tech. Is it tough distributing the ball to all this talent?
Sometimes it is. Because you got four wide receivers that can catch the ball, plus a running back can catch and do something with it. Sometimes you got three guys open, and you got to make a decision who to throw it to, not based on, you know, who's more open, but, you know, I mean, just throw it to somebody, you know. And so sometimes you get caught up in that, and it's just like, man, you know, I'm confusing myself here, but... But it does make it easy at times when you got five guys out on the field who catch the ball and run with it. So that's it's really nice.
Almost everybody in the Big 12 runs a pseudo spread offense. Mm-hmm. Everyone though is vastly different from the other one. You come from a Mike Leach system, which is one of a kind. How much different is this offense from the one you just came from?
Honestly, it's not too much different. You know, as far as being coached and learning the plays and all that kind of stuff, and how to read the plays and how to, you know, approach each play, and it's a little different. And Coach Brown has his own theory about how to approach each play separately and that kind of still. But you know, as far as the type of plays we're running, not much different at all.
Taylor, what call a play in the huddle? What do you say in the huddle? How complicated is it?
I mean, it could go from anywhere from you know, ace cross to it could go from you know.
That's a whole play.
I mean, that could be the whole play. You know, it could be easy from that, but everybody knows what to do on that play. You know, it could go from, you know, it could be easy as that to, you know, fake 35 wide will Z post or something like that. You know, so it can get really complicated. But Coach Brown's done a really good job of keeping it simple. And if you keep it simple, you don't have to think too much. You can go out there and play. I think that makes it a lot better.
Another minute here with Taylor Potts from Texas Tech on the Doug and Daddy Show. You guys have an unusual schedule this year, Taylor, so I guess it's going to be with just the two non-conference games at the beginning and then all your conference games and two at the end. Important to get off to a good start. Probably important that Coach names the starting quarterback early on. Talk about having to be ready to go maybe a little bit earlier than some of the other teams in the conference.
You know, that's kind of the thing about our schedule. We're going to have to be ready to play. We're very ready to play quick and we're going to have to put a lot together really fast. So, you know, we got two games. We're going to try to win the first two games, you know. And that third game, we start conference, and we're going to try to go on a big win streak from there. So, which, you know, is a little difficult. But, you know, at the same time, if you're rolling early, then it's good to have conference. So I think a lot of teams get in the grind of a season. They get towards the end of a conference schedule, and you know, and really good teams start losing at the end for reasons, you know, they got injured players or they're tired or, you know, it's just the grind of a season. So it could be a benefit having our, you know, conference pretty early. You know, so if we're on a hot streak early, we just continue with that, and the conference is over, and we're good to go.
Probably not hard to find focus when Texas is the first conference game up national TV.
That's something. I was just going to say, who hates Texas more, Nebraska or Texas Tech?
Man, I think it might be you guys, man.
Because you got to throw A&M in there as well. So.
Yeah, very true.
Well, Taylor, have a fun day with all the mayhem around here at Big 12 Media Days. Have a very successful season, and thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
From Dallas, Texas, the Big 12 Media Days, exclusively brought to you by Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, and Holdridge. You can check them out at brucefurniture.com. Remember, Bruce Furniture has a great selection of everything you need for your living room, your den, your bedroom. They'll take out your old furniture. They'll replace it with the new. And if there's something that they might not have, they're going to work, and they're going to get it for you with no hassle, no extra charges. It's what you want. Bruce Furniture wants you to be happy. Because why do you want to sit in an uncomfortable chair for another football season? Not good, people. Bruce Furniture, downtown Kearney and Holdridge, and South Marion Road in Hastings. Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com is coming up. If you've got a question for Joe about your fantasy football team or baseball team, feel free to shoot it off to us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. But Daddy, Taylor Potts and Stephen Sheffield, they can't go wrong with either one of those young men. And we've back and forth on the Tommy Tuberville train. Again, I'm the square peg round hole theory here. The offensive coordinator, if they let him do what he wants, can keep the offense going in this direction. But again, it sure appears that Sheffield and Potts are going to have to carry this football team.
Well, Doug, offensively, you know, it seems to be that system if they don't vary too far from it. We'll have to wait and see. I want to know how much different it's going to be. But both of those young men, you can really tell the difference when you bring in a Blaine Gabbert, when you bring in a Sheffield, you bring in a Potts. Those kids sit there, they look you right in the eye across from you when they're answering the question. You know, some of these other position players may be looking down, looking around. These kids are both born leaders, and you can tell that by interviewing them.
Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox here before we go into the break. Yesterday we were talking about places where you'd like to go watch a football game that maybe you've never been to, just a unique place. I said Tennessee is a place that I want to go to. I said it'll be cool to go to Laramie and watch Wyoming there in the mountains and watch them have a football game there with the Huskers. Obviously Notre Dame comes all the way to the top. Daddy says I'd like to go to an LSU night game. There's plenty of places out there. And we said not just you can't pick for the cocktail party, Georgia, Florida. I mean, you have to go to any game, just whatever game, because you want to go to a game at Army, to go to a game at Navy.
Dave said Iowa.
Yeah, Dave said Iowa. Here's a email to us here. One of you mentioned that you thought War Memorial Stadium in Laramie would be a neat place to watch a game. I can tell from being a lifelong Husker that their tunnel walk has the same intensity and excitement as the Husker walk, just on a much smaller scale because it's about 31,000 fans. And I'm sure that when the Huskers go to Laramie, the atmosphere will be the same as it was for Texas this year. I was going to post the video of the walk on YouTube, but felt that it did not represent the true emotion of how the stadium felt the day of the game. The fans are true Midwestern folk and show the same courtesy and hospitality that you find in Nebraska. I'm biased because I'm close to one of the Cowboys, but believe that anyone that does travel to that game will enjoy the experience coming out of Clay Center.
Awesome. Great. Appreciate that email.
I believe Mr. Studnicka is out there at Clay Center, if I got that right. Hopefully, I got to double-check. Hopefully, I didn't mess that up. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe DeMeo right around the corner. We will be right back.
I will not spend my weekend covered in drywall dust.
I will simply fix the leaky faucet.
I will not go to a store so big
it has its own zip code.
I will go to Ace.
And I will get it done fast.
And then, I will not leave the couch till Monday morning.
Get four select Ace insecticides for $2.99 each with an extra $2 mail-in rebate. At Ace, the helpful place. Limit four rebates total for purchases made at participating Ace stores July 14 through 19. Additional conditions apply. See store for details.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to...
Newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sun develops today as we'll see an isolated chance of a shower storm developing with highs around 87. Winds will stay variable at 5 to 10. There's a slight chance for a shower storm tonight with a low in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 79.
Well, I never saw it coming. I should have started running a long, long time ago.
The Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, yeah. I will say this. I go to the website. I look at fantasyplayersedge.com, and I try to do a little bit of research, but I did go by a magazine. I buy one fantasy football magazine. It's the same one I buy every year. It is the Sporting News. That's the one I buy. I go to the draft and I see different magazines out there and more website material all the time. But everybody has Chris Johnson, it seems like, number one. And so does Joe DeMail. But we've got some other questions for him. We've got a couple of emails that we're going to get to. And every Thursday at this time, Joe DeMail from FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, where his Rays are in first place. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, you know, this is our favorite time of the year. We're getting ready for football, and I know you guys are as well and have been here over the last month. Is it too early to be drafting?
It is too early to be drafting. I strongly recommend always in our preseason work that folks at least wait until after the third preseason game when you get a kind of a read on how the coaches are going to use their starters and which players maybe have secured a starting position. Especially important when selecting that third receiver and that second or third running back. So a lot of leagues are drafting as we speak, but if you really want to play the game correctly and put the odds in your favor, and of course everybody else in the league will have the same exact opportunity, do draft after the third preseason game leading up to September 8th.
Plus, you don't get hosed by some quirky preseason injury that somebody you picked in the first two rounds gets dinged up. Joe, I want to ask you, I'm in multiple leagues like many people are. Tony's in probably three of the same leagues that I am. One of them is a touchdown-only league, and I know Tony throughout the year asked you questions on that where the only way you score is by a touchdown. You can have three carries, no yards, but you get three touchdowns. And that's just as much as a guy that goes. That's more than a guy that rushes for 201 touchdown. I'm in a point per reception league. I'm in a standard league. When you go in and look at, and sites like yourselves are starting to break those down a little bit more, how much different do you have to approach each type of league when you draft, especially when you get into that second, third, fourth rounds?
Well, You have to be cognizant of your scoring format if you're going to be successful. For instance, in a touchdown-only league, Tim Hightower would have more value than Beanie Wells because he's going to get those goal line touches. And that's another reason to wait. Try to wait until after the third preseason game. See who these coaches are appointing their goal line backs. I mean, the guys like Frank Gore and Steven Jackson and Jones Drew and Peterson, of course, and even Chris Johnson, you really can't worry about that too much. They're pretty much going to get that work, and they're going to score their fair share of TDs. But you have to be cognizant, again, as you get deeper in the draft, into what your scoring format is. If you're in a PPR format and you're down to looking for your wide receiver three, it's hard to select a guy like Robert Meacham. Robert Meacham is a touchdown-catching yardage machine but may only have two grabs for the entire game. So you really have to start paying attention to the criteria and the format before you invoke a draft strategy that you can utilize when your draft is coming up.
Joe, it really doesn't matter which publication you pick up. Everybody's got Maurice Jones-Drew in their top five running backs, pretty much. I would assume, or right there. This, according to Pro Football Weekly, they say they hear it as possible that Maurice Jones-Drew will be on the field less during third downs. This due to the fact that they like the catching the ball ability of Rashad Jennings and the rookie running back Karam. What does this do if that is in fact true?
Well, I mean, you have to look at that two ways. Jones-Drew is renowned for taking short passes to the house. Getting him out of there on some third downs may make sense from the point of view of keeping him healthy the entire season. Rashad Jennings is a nice back. I think, in my mind, with Johnson 1, Peterson 2, you can really make an argument for Steven Jackson if he's healthy, Michael Turner if he's healthy, Ray Rice if he doesn't have too much of a McGahee overhang, and Maurice Jones-Drew to kind of be interchangeable on 3 through 7. And certainly there's always a ton of speculation on how guys are going to be used. But when they get in the heat of battle, these coaches, and your best weapon is Maurice Jones-Drew out of the backfield or with the rock in his hands, I can promise you when the game is important and on the line, Jones-Drew will be manning those third down situations and not anybody else, as long as he's healthy.
Joe DiMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Check it out, 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours. You can send us a question, and we'll get to that in a moment, or you can send it to Joe as well on his website. I just saw here in the last hour, the AP is reporting that the Houston Texans are close to signing their all-pro receiver Andre Johnson to a new contract. There's always that perception, and once in a while you can see an article out there, Joe, that the guys that are in the last year of their contract, for some reason, seem to put a little more effort into the contract year here. Do you know off the top of your head a couple of guys that might be in that situation whose value could be increased because they're trying to impress in the final year of a contract?
Well, I think football is kind of a different animal because the contracts almost always aren't guaranteed. Once you get out of your rookie deal, it's pretty much pay-go. So it's a little bit different. Baseball is notorious for that. And a guy in a contract year is out of his mind. But basically in football, every year becomes a contract year because you're cutting camp and you may have a fraction of your contract guaranteed. You may have a $9 million deal with $1.5 guaranteed. So it's a little bit different game that way. So we try not to take too much consideration when we feel a guy is on the last year of his contract in football. Essentially, sometimes he's going into the free agent pool, and he's going to try and play his best football. Don't get me wrong, but I think the way these teams are structured, even when these guys are not in the last year of their contract, might be in year three of a 5-year deal, they still are in jeopardy of not making a team or actually losing PT, which is even more destructive for a guy. You'd rather just see him cut and you go out into the open market. So You know, you mentioned the Andre Johnson thing. We do think that's significant. Having a guy disgruntled is way more damaging to his value than having a guy who was excited about playing this season. We think Andre Johnson is the best receiver in football this year, and that's primarily because, you know, Moss is getting on a little bit, and Larry Fitzgerald has Matt Leinart throwing out. We don't know how that's going to work. So Johnson really went to the head of the class, we feel, this year, and happy Andre Johnson is going to be a happy fantasy owner as well.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, this is a simple question from Eric, who chimes in on the Den Popper inbox. He says, Carson Palmer or Eli Manning as a starter?
Carson Palmer. I think Eli is every year a fantasy disappointment. I think most of that is based on the system he plays in. Godwin doesn't give him as much, you know, free rein down the field. Hakeem Nicks will make a difference this year, but I think Palmer is going to have he's now in his second season removed from that serious knee injury he had. Look for Palmer to outperform Eli this season.
Mark in Minden says, hey, Joe, for some unknown reason, the guys in my league think they need to prepare for the draft and have already chosen our draft order, thus requiring us to declare our one keeper. I am old school and think you should just draw a card when you get to the draft and declare when it's your turn. He goes, I had Steven Jackson and Aaron Rodgers. I chose to keep Jackson because if I would have wound up drafting last, I would have been in a world of hurt for a running back since nine of the keepers were running backs. He says, I got a pretty good draw and I'm drafting second, so my plan is to draw, get either Rodgers back or Andre Johnson, then build my depth when it comes back to me at running back. Is that a good plan, he's asking.
Yeah, I think it honestly is. I mean, you had two solid keepers, so Rodgers and Jackson are both terrific. You did the right thing in holding Jackson. If Rodgers is sitting there, I might scoop him up, and certainly Johnson will be gone before you get through. But receiver is deeper this year than quarterback and running back, so you may want to build your depth on the way back at RB and then pick your first WR at the top of the third round in that case. And although your receivers will be a little thin, there's always an opportunity to pick up a decent receiver, you know, as the season progresses.
Joe, Doug and I both shook our heads a little bit at this at the start of last year. Matt Forte was one of those high-ranking running backs. This year, though, you look at things, a lot of people have him in the 20 to 25 range.
Maybe not even as the number one back in Chicago.
Yeah, what do you do with him?
Well, you got to love him in a Mike Martz offense. You know, Mike Martz offense, you can almost discount your tight ends and take a look at your splits, your slot, and your running back. Forte is a beast out of the backfield, catches the ball very, very well. Yes, Chester Taylor is there, but Chester Taylor has been nothing more in his career than a career backup, whether he was in Baltimore or Minnesota. Matt Forte is an interesting selection, especially if you can get him around, you know, in round four or five. You're not really throwing a lot of value at that. He could be the surprise pick of the season as your running back, too. So we think Martz will make a difference. We think Forte will return to a reasonable form from 2 years ago.
A lot more questions coming up next week. And, Joe, we always appreciate it. Folks, you can get a hold of Joe on his website. You can email us your questions. And by next week, another week of studying will have been done. Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joe, have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.
Thanks, guys. Take care of yourself. We'll catch up next week. Bye now.
Take care. And don't forget, folks, to stop by Cunningham's Journal to join their Modified Fantasy Football League. Unlike other leagues where you draft teams, you just choose players each week. That's right. For more information on how to play, stop by, pick up a sheet, and just get started. The best part is they have a 100% payout of money put into the league, weekly prizes, and a big end-of-the-year prize. Also, to help entice the excitement on NFL Sundays, Cunningham's Journal will be running the Sunday Training Camp Special, Daddy. $1.50 drafts all day. So grab some friends and head to Cunningham's to watch your favorite teams play, score your fantasy teams, and make it an NFL party every week. Only 96 entries are available under this system, so hurry up and register today. Cunningham's Journal, the place to go time and time again, and then you can enjoy the courtyard. Back after this.
They walk to work in the heat and snow, uphill both ways. They could tell a storm was coming, not because some slick weatherman told them so, but because they felt it in their knee. They're your dad, your granddad, and every other man who built this country. And when the weather got tough, the tough got Cabot Wood Stain. Its deep penetrating pigments and oils have made it a pro's trusted stain partner for 130 years. Cabot, our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com.
Quiznos 5-4-3 lunch menu song. 5-4-3, 5-4-3. Get a $5 large sub, woohoo, or two items from the choose to menu. Over a foot of flavor with a toasty torpedo for just $4. Or a toasty bullet for $3 with 5-4-3. Every day at Quiznos. Toasty. At participating Quiznos for a limited time.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Get your motor running. Looking for adventure.
Ready for adventure? Get into Kearney Yamaha now during their annual Sturgis sale. Helmets as low as $45. Select leather jackets, vests, chaps up to 60% off. Luggage up to 50% off. And save up to 60% off parts, accessories, and apparel. Years of experience and huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, just south of the Kearney I-80 exit 272.
Looking for adventure. And whatever comes up.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill. Their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing. Or how about their outstanding prime rib? Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
A mix of clouds and sun develops today as we'll see an isolated chance of a shower storm developing with highs around 87. Winds will stay variable at 5 to 10. There's a slight chance for a shower storm tonight with a low in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 79.
Wrapping things up on a Thursday, Doug and Daddy show. If you're interested, the World Golf Championship Bridgestone Invitational going on as we speak. Tiger Woods, by the way, scheduled to tee off at 12:50. That is 12:50 Central Time. Right now, Bubba Watson leads the field at 5 under par, one shot ahead of Kenny Perry. Bubba Watson was on hole number 17. Kenny Perry was on the 18th hole at 4 under par. Chad Campbell in at 3 under par. A whole host of characters there. So Tiger's going to tee it up, 12:50, go time, World Golf Championships Bridgestone Invitational.
Daddy, how about this before we get out of here? The University of Kansas fight song has to be revised. It has to be revised to account for Nebraska and Colorado leaving the league. I'm a Jayhawk mentioned six foes from the old Big Eight, everybody but Iowa State. Kansas is the only school with cause to tweak its fight song after this summer's conference realignment. Nebraska and Colorado songs don't reference other schools. The same holds for Utah and Boise State, which are going to different conferences. The Kansas Alumni Association holding a contest for students to come up with new lyrics to replace those mentioning Nebraska and Colorado. The winner is announced at homecoming on October the 23rd.
Who would have thunk of such a thing?
I'll bet there'll be some interesting things there. The Huskers begin practice Saturday. Don't forget Fan Day is Saturday morning from 9:30 to 11. Represents the best chance for Husker fans to meet and get an autograph from their favorite Husker players and coaches. A couple of things, and you can go to our website and check on the daily sports at ESPNSuperstation.com and read the story. Fans must limit autograph requests to one item per player or coach. Rosters and autograph sheets are available. Husker Authentic will be open at 7 a.m. on Saturday. If you want to pick something up to be signed, fans should visit for all the latest Adidas merchandise, media guides. The schedule posters will be out on Saturday. Schedule cards, all of that. Vendors are available. You can go to Huskers.com to get the map to see where everybody's seating. And, of course, the line is always the longest by Coach Pelini and the coaches, which is right next to running backs, quarterbacks.
which maybe you can get three or four autographs if that's the route you want to take. Or you can go visit the old linemen. They'd love to see you. They'll sign things for you. And Jared Crick might be busy, too.
Yeah, Lance Thorell's going to be there, too. Remember him. Go get your autograph
23!
Today. Get your autograph
23!
Today.
23! MVP of the team, Lance Thorell. I can't believe, you know, you voted for Von Miller as Defensive Player of the Year over Jared Crick, but also over Lance Thorell. What are you thinking, bro?
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. I just went out on a limb there.
Don't forget, you can also go to our website to keep up to date with Kearney Runza and the Kearney Little League teams that are playing today and Saturday. Kearney Runza just ready to get it underway here against Minot, North Dakota in the Central Regional Tournament. Tomorrow, our Big 12 football preview continues, and I think we're going to get a little national perspective tomorrow on the program. ESPN's Ron Franklin will join us on the program tomorrow, and we've got a lot more to discuss. And don't forget, next week, high school fall sports season begins. We get into football and volleyball already starting next Monday as camp begins. So does UNK and Hastings get going here. So our Merck and Morris segments will begin, and we'll have all of that for you in the upcoming days. We want to thank Chancellor Doug Christensen at UNK for joining us today, Texas Tech quarterback Taylor Potts, and Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You're going to go hit the range. We got the big Kearney Booster Golf Tournament tomorrow. If you want to get in, I think there's still a spot. Contact Marty Albrecht, 380-5463, 380-5463. It's at Metal Arc tomorrow at 1. You ready?
I'm ready.
Tomorrow's Tony's birthday. Yahoo!
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey!